find ourselves at verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this chapter has only 16 verses. We'll just read the entire chapter today. And Lord willing, we may cover the entire chapter this week. We begin with the first few verses speaking of bad doctrine. Then we compare that to the middle portion, to the good doctrine that Paul is speaking of here to Timothy. And we see at the end applying good doctrine in the verses 12 to 16. So as we could easily put together an outline, chapter 4 is speaking of doctrine. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe in and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that by thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. As we read through the end of chapter 4, the last verse there, when it speaks of saving thyself and them that hear thee, it's not speaking of your soul being saved. It's not a subject here of salvation, as we generally mention it. It's speaking of saving yourself from the beginning of the chapter when it speaks of the bad doctrine. So after it speaks of the bad doctrine, and then it tells us what is the good doctrine and how we should apply it, the last verse tells us that by doing so we shall save ourselves and others that hear from error, from bad doctrine. So let's back up now and just look at the word doctrine. W.E. Vine, in his New Testament word study of the original language Greek, we see the word sound, speaking of sound doctrine. The word doctrine in our study here of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the pastoral epistles, the theological term that's used, we see doctrine mentioned in with different adjectives, but the word sound is mentioned four times in these three little books. Sound doctrine. The word sound here, Brother Vine has, hugeno, meaning to be healthy, sound in health. In other words, we have the English word hygiene. We have it translated sometimes the word safe and sound. But we see here in 1 Timothy 1:10, 2 Timothy 4:3, Titus 1:9, and 2:1, we see here of sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. That's what we'd like to speak of this week in the will of the Lord. That is healthy, sound doctrine. As we think of this, let's look at the opposite, bad doctrine, in our first part of our outline, the first five verses. We see here that the scripture says, now, well, now we see the transition from verse chapter 3, verse 16, where, if you remember when we were in 1 Timothy before, that we spoke verse 16 of the previous chapter of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. After chapter 2 and 3 speak so much of the order of the local assembly, the local testimony, the local church, we see how it is brought into conclusion. Verse 16, the summation of all godliness and of all order is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks of some of the tremendous attributes and accomplishments of our Savior. In verse 16, and then chapter 4, it says, now, comparing what previously in chapter 3 we saw as a sound, orderly meeting, now in chapter 4 we see where the warning comes, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So we see here that the little phrase, the Spirit speaketh expressly. We want to keep in mind that this doesn't mean that this part of the scripture is any more inspired than the rest of the Word of God. For we understand that the Word of God is all inspired by Him. It's the God-breathed scriptures, as we would see in 2 Timothy. But now, when we see that it says the Spirit speaketh expressly, it's making an emphasis on how throughout the New Testament, that it tells us that in the latter times there will be false teachers. It's emphasizing here something that's repeated throughout the New Testament. We see in 2 Peter, we see in Jude, we see warnings of how ones will have false teaching. We see how Paul warned the Ephesian elders as he departed from there in Acts chapter 20, that grievous wolves would come in among you. So we see continually Paul in the New Testament warns, and here by the Spirit of God, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith. My friend, we see it all about us. Ones who are not holding to sound doctrine, ones who may at one time have had a tender conscience toward the things of God, is now the Scripture says that they are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. For there is one Satan, but we see he has a multitude of demons. But it says, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, when we think of a hot iron searing a conscience, think of how if you have your skin is tender, and to the touch of anything that is contrary to your skin, if you have been pricked with something, you brush across something, a thorn, it pricks, and you're sensitive to that, your skin is. But if you have cut your skin, and then we see how there's a scab over it, if it heals up, think of someone with taking a hot iron and searing it, where it just crusts right up, and it's hard. Well then, instead of something being tender, the next time something brushes up against it, it's going to be hard. It's going to be resistant. It's not going to be tender to something brushing up against it. We think of a conscience that once was tender to the things of God. Now we see these ones have a conscience that's been seared with a hot iron. They have grown hard to the things of God. So we see here that as this warning comes up, it applies all around us today. Of ones such as in verse 16 of the previous chapter, of how ones would try to make it a controversy, speaking of Christ being God and manifest in the flesh. We know, as in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the Word was made flesh, the Word became flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who John said that he hath seen him with his eyes and has handled him, he could bear witness and testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ had been God manifest in the flesh. But we know there are ones today in the latter times, the times that are around us, ones that would try to make a great controversy. But praise be to God, His very Word tells us that it's without controversy. And it's great, the mystery of godliness. And one of those points in verse 16, the first one is that God was manifest in the flesh. We know that that one Jesus Christ that came was God in the flesh. Tabernacled in the flesh. He was in that tent of the flesh, we could say, and He was here upon this earth. Such as the woman at the well in John 4. She said, "Come see a man that told me ever that I did. Is not this the Christ?" And others went and believed. So we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we've been given a little background today of just what is the Spirit warning us against. Lord willing, tomorrow we'd like to continue with this thought, and then we'd like to move on Wednesday through Friday, and think a little bit of the good doctrine. But we need to cover a little more in this first section tomorrow. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Pray for us of the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry as we come to you each week. Sometimes, as in everybody's lives, things come up and there are sicknesses, responsibilities, things that, in everybody's life, it comes up and sometimes our time is rather pushed. So if occasionally one of us switches with the other one, and we change weeks, something may have come up that maybe made it difficult to keep our regular schedule. So pray for us. All three of us have wives and children. I made a comment one time with someone that, when we was at the hospital giving birth to our last child, our third one, that it takes three of us to do this radio ministry. And I kind of joked and said, "Well, we got 15 kids between the three of us, so you know, it takes three of us to do it." But pray for us. We try to balance between our children and our time in the Word and our wives. Thank you, and join us tomorrow.